This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, live and in person right here.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
You look alive.
I think I am.
Although I hear you may be doing something else.
No, I'm going to do the show right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, welcome. And if you have questions about your garden, your landscaping, your trees, shrubs, grass, moles, whatever, you can call 673-4464 and ask me whatever question it is, and I'll give you an answer. I guarantee it. Whether it's 100% correct or not.
It's an answer.
You got an answer. I will, and I'll be polite too. But questions, no matter what I'm speaking about, you may interrupt the flow of thought and rhythm and say, hey, yeah, blah, 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 and I'll tell you, okay? So thank you for listening. And the number again, 673-4464. So I want to, I had an interesting experience yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I think it was yesterday. I'm not sure now. The weeks just kind of mold all together, you know.
They sure do.
But I was asked by the OSU Extension Service to speak to the Master Gardeners, a brand new bunch of recruits for Master Gardeners about lawns
cool.
and stuff like that.
Nice.
And it seemed like there was about 100 of them. I don't know. Maybe there wasn't. But there was a lot. I mean, filled up the church annex over there by the courthouse.
Wow.
And that's where they have their meetings and stuff. And it was good. It was enjoyable. I always enjoy that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them about a few of the mistakes I've made when I was first starting and what not to do.
Right.
And the proper things to do. It was like an extended radio show without commercials.
There you go.
But
the best kind.
And it was a good reception. And
good.
The lady that was kind of ramrodding it, mm-hmm. They had a blackboard, and she said something, and you can listen to his radio show at this, you know, on the station at this time, and here's the number to call in, blah, blah, blah. So she gave me a lot of free advertisement.
That was nice of her.
Yeah, it was very nice. And she's a former client of mine, and I've done some work for her up in Sutherland, and she's... No, I don't think she runs the whole show, but she's one of the
assistants or
somewhere in there. I'm not sure what her title is, but it was good. You know, lots of questions. My gosh, questions. I mean, you know, bing, this one, that one. It was nonstop questions after a while, after we got warmed up. The first half hour, there was no questions, but that, they started coming. So I lasted an hour, and had no notes or anything, just talk.
Top of your
talk
head,
about lawns and, you know, how to do them, why to do them, and the types of seed, fertilizer. You know, it's basically the same thing I say here on the radio, only without commercials again. So anyway, thank you, Master Gardeners, for letting me speak to you. It's a pleasure, and I always enjoy it. So,
was there any questions regarding marijuana growing?
No, not a one.
Not a one?
No. Uh-uh. Everybody was adult.
Oh.
Now, they may as well. When I'm growing a field full of camellias.
Yeah. How far apart should
should I put those camellias? Oh, golly.
Oh, we got a phone call.
Well, that was quick. We didn't even say anything other.
We like it.
Yeah.
Hey, good afternoon.
Whoa. Good afternoon.
Yeah, there you go. Now I can hear you without feedback.
So, how may
I have a question.
I'm going to help you.
I have a question for, I have a tree that I, actually I have two of them that I bought from you, and they're a maple, and I think it's called an autumn fire, or autumn fury or something. It's
autumn fantasy.
Red leaves.
Autumn fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's in the middle of my front yard, and the roots are surfacing probably because I water the yard.
Yes.
However, I would like to put a border around the tree, and I would like to prune back some of those surface roots. And I'm wondering if you think that will damage the tree. I'm thinking about going out 5 or 6 feet from the bole of the tree. The tree is probably about 6-7 inches in diameter.
No, it won't hurt the tree. And what kind of border are you thinking of?
Well, what I thought I would do, Mike, is put a like a 6-inch curb, and then put river rock on it.
Okay, I was going to say, don't fill it with topsoil. River rock would be okay because the tree root can still breathe that way.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
No, but if you don't hit a major, you know, big root and cut it off, you're not going to hurt it. It's a very fast-growing tree, and there's a lot more roots under the ground that you cannot see. It's like an iceberg, you know?
Yeah, well, it's an awesome tree. You told me it would be, and it's everything you said it'd be. It's
good.
Super fast-growing. This thing is 48 feet tall already. I've only had it in the ground about 5 years, so it's awesome.
See, I told you.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
All right. That might be a good reminder to turn your radio down.
Yeah? Was that what happened?
Yeah. We're in mono, not stereo. So.
Oh, whatever that means. Okay. Who knows? Hey, I'm not a radio guy. I'm a dirt guy, rocks, dirts, and plants guy. Okay.
You know how to bury them.
I know how to bury them. You know, God, never mind. I'm not saying. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I want to talk about winter color again today. And, you know, there are some plants that bloom in the winter and the cold winter, and it doesn't faze them in the least. And, you know, when it's winter time around Douglas County, it's good to see some flowers. It's good to see some color once in a while, other than just the drab trees, no leaves, no shrubs that are really in bloom in December, January, February. They're starting to come now in various places. But it always makes the yard feel alive year-round when you have color year-round. And you can do that if you do your homework and look around and see what's blooming in the down the street at your neighbor's or somewhere else, and you say, I wonder what kind of plant that is. Well, stop in and ask them, and if they have any around, then you buy them and stick them in your own yard. But, you know, cold and wet and snowy on some of these things, some of these plants doesn't even faze them. It's, it's really, really interesting. One of the best plants, and I talked about this, I think, a week or two ago, to fit this bill is the camellia plant. You know, camellias, they're blooming all over right now. They're just gorgeous. Big, big, nice flowers, reds and whites and yellows and oranges and multicolor. I've got some at the nursery that are red and white, and it's called Umpqua Chief. And it was developed right down there on that property and back in the 1950s, I think. Somewhere
Umpqua Chief.
Yeah. Yeah, really a pretty thing. And anyway, they're blooming now, and they started to bloom about 2-3 weeks ago, somewhere in there. And they'll bloom clear into, oh gosh, April, depending on the weather. If it got real hot real quick, then the blooms begin to fade, and it stops the blooming process and goes to the growth process. But, you know, they started, like I say, December-ish, and so you get December, January, February, and then you get into March, and you've got, like, good four months of blooms. And they're, you know, a pretty good-sized plant, and they do, and they're evergreen, and they're very, very tough. And they don't all bloom at the same time. It's not like all roses are, say, blooming from this date to this date. Camellias, some will be early, some will be late, some will be really late. And I've not discovered a summer blooming camellia yet, but who knows? There's probably some mad scientists out there working on getting one out there. But all of mine at the nursery a lot of them have a large flower buds, and about 30% of them are in full flower. Well, that was about a week ago. I would say they're probably in about 50% of full flower at this point. And I've got them planted in the back of my retail building, and I've pruned them into trees, and they're, you know, just really, really pretty. And like I said, they can bloom until April, according to the weather. Cool weather, rainy weather, they're just going to keep on blooming and growing at the same time. Now, these guys, camellias, are native. In other words, they grow wild in eastern and southern China. You know, wow. And it's just like we got Doug fir and manzanita and madrones growing on our hillsides that are native to our country here. They've got camellias growing on their hillsides. And I don't know if they make timber out of them or anything like that. But at any rate, there's over 3,000 named varieties of camellias.
That's about how many phone calls we have waiting.
Is that right? Are you sure?
Well, we got at least one waiting.
Okay, well, let's take the phone call.
I was trying to clever that.
Oh, I see.
Well, didn't work. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Winters. I was just curious. I've noticed a mass tree die-off on the hillsides around Canyonville of the softwood trees. I was wondering if you knew what was causing that.
Now, which trees are you referring to? What variety?
I think they're Douglas firs.
Douglas fir. Well, that was, you know, we had about 3 or 4 years of subnormal rainfall. And if that happens, you know, 2-3 years in a row, the subsurface moisture level kind of disappears and you get into a severe drought. And if the roots aren't far enough down and deep, that's what happened exactly. It was all over.
Okay, well, these trees are all on hilltops.
Yep.
They probably don't have a lot of water.
Yep, exactly. And I saw them all over the county as I drive through the county. And a lot of them are young trees that, you know, are maybe 6-inch, 8-inch in diameter, 30, 40, 50 feet tall maybe. And they would and they would be in sunny locations, too, where there's a real tendency to the soil will dry out very quickly. Whereas on north-facing aspects, they're cooler and it's more shade. So consequently, there's more moisture, and they seem to bear through the drought conditions. But I lost some of mine on my place right next to a creek, and you'd never think it.
Oh.
And these trees were, geez Louise, they were. 18 inches in diameter and maybe 75, 80 feet tall. So it happens.
Yeah, these are trees on soft slopes.
Yep.
They're 12 to 18 inches.
Yep.
Even up to Dave Creek, I've noticed the BLM was doing some logging, doing a shelter up there where they had some die-off up there.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. That opens up all the lines here.
Yeah, we got 37 lines, so just line up.
Yeah.
not really.
No waiting today.
Okay, well, usually these camellias, they're sold as shrubs, but what most people don't realize is that they can grow as large as a small tree, up to about 15 or 20 feet. And again, in some of the older neighborhoods in Roseburg, out across the river there.
Mm-hmm. Laurelwood.
Laurelwood, exactly. I never can think of Laurelwood.
And oh, that's why I'm here.
That's where you live?
No, that's why I'm here to remind
you. Oh, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Yeah.
But you go down through that neighborhood, and some of these homes were built, you know, early 1900s, and they're very nice, old, stately homes. And they, of course, landscaped back in those days, and basically there was rhodies, azaleas, camellias, and, you know, some of the standard things. And it's amazing. You drive through that neighborhood real slowly, and you can see some of these. And right now they're very noticeable because they're in bloom. But I think I saw one camellia bush, quote, tree, slash tree, over 20 feet tall.
Good.
And, yeah, amazing thing. And just beautiful, just gorgeous, full of blooms, just thousands of blooms on it. So they do get big, but most people think they're shrubs, so consequently they make the big mistake of planting them 3 feet from the foundation of their house because they're such a pretty shrub. Well, you know, 10 years down the road when they're lifting the foundation and the roof and the top branches are lifting the roof up, they go, what do I do? Well, why don't we prune it? I don't know if I can transplant it safely, but I know we can prune it. And then once we prune it, keep it that way. Don't let it get large. It's all right. You know, you can go every other year and keep it pruned, and it'll fit the bill.
Yeah, and Gladys might help out.
And Gladys and what's that, Kim and Susan or whoever.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest mistake I've seen, is just planting them too close to structures, you know, the home, the fence, the driveway, the sidewalk, whatever. And because they do get large, they get wide as well. And it's just best if you want one, give it 5 or 6 feet from a structure, at least. That's a minimum. And keep it pruned because it's still gonna grow out there. They're slow growing, but like I say, 7 to 10 years, they can be too large for the area in which they were planted, and you know, and like I say, give them a lot of room and they're gonna be beautiful for you. And if they are crowded against your home, severe pruning is necessary. And when you've got to severely prune them, they look a little like a bomb hit them or something. I mean, it's just there's hardly any leaves left and hardly any branches. But that's what you need to do to keep them in shape and keep them alive. But their camellias are very tough, but they're not bulletproof. So. I drive through neighborhoods. Well, Kyle's next door neighbor, I won't tell you which side, has a camellia, probably 2 feet from the foundation of the house. And it's probably 7 feet wide from the branches to the other side of the branches. Mm. And it's leaning out away, trying to get sunshine because mm-hmm. the eaves of the roof are over it. And I look at that, and there's just a lot of branches and things like that. And whoever planted it, this person didn't plant it, but the original plantee it was a cute little shrub, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Like 2 feet tall or 3 feet tall. And it looks good, and it's evergreen. It's going to really look nice. Yeah. It doesn't look so hot now.
No, it's like a baby elephant that grows.
It grows up, yeah.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It is indeed. And this afternoon we have in studio Mike Winters.
I'm here.
And I won't call you the Commissioner of Dirt.
I don't care. Call me the salt in the soil.
There you go. The growing weed.
Oh,
that's bad.
I'm the growing weed.
Sorry.
Boy, I'm really impressed now.
I didn't mean that. Well, weed comes in different varieties.
Yes, that's true. There's a lot of different weeds, thankfully. If you have a question about your garden, you can call 673-4464 and ask the question. I'll give you an answer. And at any rate, I'm talking about winter color, and the camellias is what I'm basing my speech on at this point. And the general feel out there is people are afraid to prune, and pruning is like cutting your fingernails. It doesn't hurt you, it doesn't kill you, it just makes those fingernails stronger and grow faster, it seems. But talking about the large camellias, well, before I had my retail building in there was an old farmhouse there, and the folks had planted these camellia bushes, shrubs all the way around the foundation there, but they pruned them and kept them in fairly good shape. Well, prior to me taking the building down, these camellias were old-time things that were planted there like in the late 50s, early 60s, and I wanted to save them. I just didn't have the heart to dig them up with a backhoe and throw them on the burn pile. So they were about 8 feet tall, somewhere in there, and I cut them down to about 3 feet tall, and so there was hardly a leaf left anywhere. Then we dug them up and had a big size root ball, put them out back and covered them up with bark mulch, just set them on the ground, covered the root ball with bark, and kept them watered, and they were kind of shady. So it was like a year later that my retail building was completely done, and I built a raised planter around the back and one of the sides, and I wanted to put those camellias back in there, and it was about 3 feet deep, and I filled it with bark mulch only, and I took these camellias that I had transplanted 2 years prior, and I planted them in this bark mulch bed. And they were maybe 4 feet tall at that time, and they had multiple stems. And so I trimmed out some of the stems so it actually looked more tree-like. And now those guys are somewhere in the 12-foot to, say, 14-foot height, and the trunks are about 5-6 inches in diameter, and just really, really, really pretty. And but they've got plenty of room to grow. And like I say, they're pruned into trees, some with multiple stems and some with just a single trunk, and are all the different colors. And that's where we take our cuttings when we want to grow more camellias. We take the cuttings from the mama plants, if you will, and propagate them in one of our greenhouses. But it's pure bark mulch. There's no soil in there. And it's easy for them to root out in that kind of a planting medium than hard pan clay of Douglas County, or even what they call topsoil. Topsoil is good, but it also compacts and doesn't drain as well as bark mulch, for instance. So these trees, if you repeat that kind of planting mixture with most of your plant materials that you buy, you're going to have good success. You're not going to have overwatering. The roots are going to get out very quickly. They're going to establish themselves very quickly. And that bark mulch turns into beautiful compost after a few years. And as it kind of disintegrates, you just add more around the plant. Now, these guys get morning sun and afternoon shade. And I think the afternoon shade sits in there about 3 o'clock in the long days of summer.
Yeah.
So they've gotten, and they face the east, and so the sun comes up, and it doesn't get really hot till about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, from there till sundown.
Right.
So that's like a perfect situation. They will grow in full sun, but they won't look real good. They'll have burnt leaves. They won't flower as much, and you'll have to be, you know, dumping a lot of water on them just to keep them alive sometimes. Mm. But the shade, and I would say they get shade 6-7 hours a day in the middle of the summer. And because of the bark, they can't be overwatered because the bark drains very quickly and doesn't rot any roots and stays damp. Even when it looks dry on top, you dig down a little bit, it's damp. It's okay. It's the perfect spot for a camellia. And like I say, care is simple on camellias. Good mulchy soil, water once in a while, and add some acid fertilizer, say twice a year, and they grow. They grow, they flower, they look good. You can plant them in containers too. Like you got a patio, a porch, big front porch. You want something in a pot that looks good. Try a camellia. You can do any kind of plant, but a camellia would look really good in something like that.
Well, it sounds like they're not that hard to take care of.
They're not. I mean, they're native to China, for goodness sakes.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
you got to be tough.
You got to be tough in China, or you don't survive, baby. But was that political?
Nah.
Okay, good. But, you know, when you do put them in a pot, get a pot, it's large enough that you can handle, that way they're good for at least 5 years until you have to transplant them into a larger size, or actually transplant them into the ground, into your yard. The main troublemakers, again, are heavy soil with poor drainage and full hot sun. Avoid those things, and you've got success with your camellia. Now, pruning camellias takes place after the blooms are finished. So let's say it blooms till 1st of April. And then all the blooms finally fall off, and that's exactly the time for the next 30 days after that to prune it and shape it. If you want it rounded, or if you want to make a tree form, or if you want to keep it in a shrub form, rounded and tight, that's the time to do it.
bend me, shape me, any way you want me.
Exactly, as long as you do it after they bloom, after the blooms are done.
Right.
Yeah, and then light annual pruning, prevents too much growth and keeps the plant manageable. Mm-hmm. I've got some clients, and there's one that works at this radio station here that I help in his yard occasionally.
Yes, you do.
Lets his camellias go for a while, and and then he calls me up and says, "Oh, by the way, I need those things pruned." And I said, "Well, if we did it more than every 5 years or 3 years, we'd have a handle on this thing." But
by the way, I'm in Hawaii.
oh yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh gosh,
he's going on another vacation.
Good for him. Good for him. He really liked Hawaii.
Yes, he does.
But if you do it in a container, the best size is like one of those half wine barrel sizes or a wooden tub of that size. If you want to get something more permanent, you know, you can make it out of brick, block, or concrete, and then you'd never have to transplant it probably, and they'll be good till the wooden ones are good till the pot, the tub rots and falls apart. Yeah. Or you can get a big size plastic, a heavy duty plastic one that looks like a half wine barrel. It's got the design of it is good that way. But our camellias that we sell at our nursery, we grow and we take cuttings from our own mama plants and we grow them right there. So, you know, they're tough and they'll survive in Douglas County because, you know, anything that is native, I guess, to the area is going to do, you know, going to do a good job for you. And but quickly going to other things, other winter bloomers that have been in bloom since about December. One is called saxifrage.
Saxifrage.
These plants are native to the mountains, in mountainous areas of North America. They can grow in the snow and everything else. And Europe, Northern Europe, I guess it would be.
China.
And China, yes. But these guys like it cold, and they bloom for several weeks. From about December to January, right in there. They're in bloom right now all over town. And they'll bloom in the snow if it's not like over 6 or 8 inches, you know, deep.
They got to breathe.
They got to have some breathing room there. But they're a good rock garden plant or to fill the space between larger plants. And their bloom is like a light purple, lavender kind of color. And
I think I've seen those.
Oh, yeah. They're you know, and you only see them when they're blooming because when they're not blooming, they're kind of a nondescript,
they kind of blend in.
Yeah, they're nothing showy about
them.
But when they're in bloom, man, they're blooming, you know, like I say, 2-3 months sometimes, depending on the weather. If it's cold, they bloom. And the leaves are about 6 inches across, 6 inches long, and about their leaves about like that. And nobody could see that on the radio when I did that, did they?
I saw it.
I don't know. And once these guys are established, they'll start to spread without help from humans. I mean, they'll just kind of reroot and send more roots, and up comes a new plant. And they can grow in the sun or the shade, but in the shade they're going to do a little bit better because of the summer heat. And, you know, that hot sun from June to October, those large leaves will shrivel a little bit. They won't die, but they'll shrivel. They'll kind of turn a little bit of brown. But don't worry, they're not going to die. They're just resisting and conserving their strength for the winter blooms.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So don't pull them up. They're okay. They don't do well in soggy soil. So don't try to put them in a swamp and expect them to live. Drainage is important. I won't. How many times have I said that on this radio station? Two million?
Drain the swamp.
Drain the swamp, baby. But it's very good color for the winter. So imagine that with some camellias. And these are low plants, grow about 6 inches tall and spread around. Good contrast there. Then one of my favorites is Daphne Adora. It's also a winter bloomer, and it's called Winter Daphne. It's very hardy evergreen, and it does well in morning sun, afternoon shade, but I've seen some grow in full shade, and the leaves are kind of bleached out green, yellow, green in the summer. But in the shade, they're you know, just a nice waxy, live-looking green. And guess what? They originally come from China, too.
Do they?
Yeah, they're native to China.
Well, so we get a lot of plants.
But you know, who brought them over was in the 1800s when they're sailing ships over there and trading goods and stuff. There's always some plant nut on the boat,
right? Oh, sure,
sure. Wow, look at that. I'm going to take that back to Massachusetts. It'll grow.
And then, I thought you were going to say Trump as a gift or something.
Oh, no. but...
Should we take a break?
You take a break. I got to...
Recoup
from all this.
All righty. Too much fun here today. We'll be right back on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yes, indeed. We do talk about it a lot.
Yes.
And we're back.
We are certainly back.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time left, too, here. Mm-hmm. So I only got 12 more pages of notes, so speed talk.
Don't forget you can call in.
Yeah, you can call in at 673-4464. But anyway, I'm talking about one of my favorites, winter blooming plants called Daphniodora, or winter Daphne. And it's a very hardy evergreen, and it does well, again, in morning sun, afternoon shade. And it also comes from China. I can't believe all the things that come from China. You know, and the blooms, what's really cool about the blooms, they're super fragrant. And you can smell them from 20 feet away. I mean, it's really a heavy perfume type. What?
Can we take a phone call?
We got one already?
Yeah.
Yeah, you betcha. Put them on.
All right. You're on with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. This is Bob Williams.
Hi, Bob Williams. Hey.
We moved into a newer neighborhood here, and everybody has a beautiful yard but mine.
Man!
I have a tree in the front yard. It's a beautiful tree. It's a weeping thing.
Uh-huh. A weeping thing.
It has a white trunk. I don't know what it is. Is that a birch or what?
Could
is
be
there
a,
such a thing?
A weeping birch.
Okay. At the base of this thing... Let me turn my radio off here.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, there we go.
Whoa, I can actually hear you now.
Okay. On one side, it looks like at one time it had been two big limbs or trees or whatever, a Y-shaped tree growing up there, because on one side of it, it looks like there used to be a tree just as big as it was. And right now, there's a hole in it. It looks like it's kind of rotten back in there.
Uh-huh.
And I presume that I need to dig that out of there and clean it out of there and so forth. And
yes.
Maybe put some concrete or something in there, but I don't know what to do with it. What would you suggest?
Well, how large is the trunk on it?
It's probably about 12 inches diameter. Mm-hmm.
And the hole is pretty good size or what?
The hole is right at the base of one side of the tree, and it's probably a diameter about the size of a basketball.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Man.
Now, this thing looks super healthy. The roots are going everywhere and showing everywhere.
Yeah.
It has a lot of surface roots from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks healthy, and it's drooping beautifully.
Good. That's their nature.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've heard of people filling large holes with concrete. I have heard that. I don't know what the alkaline would do, the alkali in the concrete would do to the root system over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's what I was concerned about.
Yeah.
I thought probably it ought to be coated with something prior to that.
Well, you know, you get some heavy-duty plastic, and you put that in the hole first to kind of to separate the concrete from the actual tree, and just kind of smooth it out as best as you can, and then you could fill it with the concrete. And when you do that, you know, surface water will drain away instead of going into the hole and rotting the root system. And that's what you want.
Yeah, but I was just wondering, I don't need to coat it or paint it with some kind of an emulsion or something prior to that?
Yeah, you could. Anything you can do to protect it from the alkalinity from the concrete would be a plus.
Is there some stuff I can buy that...
you can go to the co-op, and they've got some tree seal. And it's kind of like a tar material. And buy some tree seal, and you take it with a stick, like a paddle of some sort, and you just smear it on all over, and you do, you know, cut limbs that way and big limbs, and smear it all over and good and thick, and then maybe put the heavy duty plastic in on top of that, and it'll stick to that, and then you can do the concrete.
All right, that sounds good. Do I have time for another question?
Yes.
Okay.
You got 4 seconds.
I planted petunias last year. It's hard to get something that shows color all year long. And,
sure.
And planted petunias last year, and they just came up like gangbusters. And I don't know whether I over-fertilized them or what. They just grew like a bang and didn't bloom. And the darn things didn't die. They haven't died yet. They still have green leaves on them. And last year, one from the year before, just came up and bloomed fine. So
really?
What's the scoop on this silly thing?
Now, did you, what you said you fertilized them? What did you fertilize them with?
Oh, God. I'm about as stupid as you can get. I don't know what the regular stuff that says for gardens and trees and stuff, what
yeah.
it is.
Well, you might have, you see, you might have done it with something that's higher in nitrogen. And and that makes green things grow and turn green.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And if they have a super shot of that, they're not going to flower much because all the energy is going into producing more leaves and not enough flowers. So if you buy fertilizer again, get something that says bloom on it, you know, that's low in nitrogen, high in phosphorus and potassium.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I used two things last year, that ammonium nitrate or whatever, I suppose that's what you're talking about,
uh-huh.
the stuff that makes the green.
Yep.
Yeah, I used that, and I had another bag of stuff that had three different things in it, which I know one from the other.
Well, that's the law that every fertilizer package has to have its formulation on the package somewhere. The first
yeah.
one...
Well, it was there, but I'm okay. too dumb to know what I was reading. So.
Well, for shrubs, the first number should be a low number, and the next two
okay.
numbers should be high. For lawns, the first number would be high, and the other two numbers would be low.
Okay, Mike, you've helped a lot.
Good.
I'm pretty, you know, dumb on this stuff. You know, to me, a eucalyptus was a new calopetus, and rhododendrons were as azaleas, you know, so that's how smart I am.
Well, hey, you're getting better. Just keep listening.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, we had another call coming in there. Now it's open.
Okay, it's open.
Yes, indeed.
Is there somebody on there now?
No, oh, not yet.
Okay. Well, don't hesitate to call back. I was talking about winter daphne and how fragrant those blooms are. And it's blooming right now. And we've got some at the nursery that are blooming. Mine at the house isn't blooming because I get not very much sun at all in there until another month. And so it's a little bit late, but... when it does bloom, like I say, you can smell the fragrance from 20 feet away. And if there's a little bit of breeze, you know, it just carries it.
Wow.
And it's the bloom is kind of a white bloom with a pinkish or even a streak of purple in the bloom itself. And these shrubs, they can get about 4 feet high, 6 feet wide, and they have long, green, shiny leaves, real pretty, pretty leaves. And you plant them like a rhododendron, a lot of mulch, a lot of light soil, on a mound is best. You know, that way you can't overwater. I know I preach on overwater. Hopefully somebody's listening. But and I heard that they were deer resistant. So I planted.
Really?
Yeah. So
nice.
I planted one close to my house. And for several years, it grew quite well. I mean, it was doing well and uh-huh. blooming and growing. And it got about, 3 foot high, 3 foot wide, and it just looked good. And it bloomed from about January to March, and I didn't give it any fancy care. A little bit of fertilizer, if I had some left over from a job, I'd throw it on there as I went by, you know, not very much water, because it's kind of out by the creek. And then one August day, upon returning home, as I walked by, I noticed that half the plant was missing.
Oh, no.
Missing. What happened? You know, what's going on? And the leaves had been eaten. Not neatly, but in jagged little bites, you know. And I thought, oh, man. So I saw hoof prints of our deer population. So, you know, this is deer resistant, right? Yeah, they only ate half of it. I guess they got sick and ran away after the first half. But so I pruned the mangled branches and shaped it back up because they were bite marks and broken branches and stuff. They're not very neat when they eat.
No.
But the next spring, it bloomed and pushed all new leaves on the naked branches that, you know, the deer had stripped. And by that summer, it was, you know, nice and full again and growing well. So even though the deer had a midnight snack or whatever the heck it was, you prune off the jagged ends and kind of round it, shape it, whatever you want to do to it, and it comes back. It's okay. And and that was really, in all the years I've had it there, that was the only time it was ever attacked by a deer. And it'd been there, you know, at that time, 6-7 years, I
think. Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe it really is so-called deer resistant.
It might
except
be.
Except for one.
Except for the deer. I hope the deer got sick and told his buddies, hey, stay away from that one, man. It's poison. But Daphne is a real natural-looking shrub. It looks like, you know, it would grow native in our mountains here in Douglas County. And in spite of the marginal care I give it, it always looks great. So it's a great plant for winter color. So you got camellias, and you got saxifrage, mm-hmm. and you got the winter Daphne, and then next would be Candy Tuft. Candy Tuft's a little white ground cover kind of moundy plant, and it's in full bloom right now. Just looks like Snow White. Mm-hmm. And it'll bloom again all winter long, clear into, oh gosh, they'll bloom into May, even June. But as soon as it gets hot, the blooms die off. And
got a couple of months yet.
Yeah. And so you got this combination of colors, and you could landscape a whole section of your yard just with the plants I've mentioned. And basically, these are tough things. Not a lot of care involved, not a lot of water and fertilizing enough to keep them alive. And as long as you plant them in good soil, you've got a nice natural-looking landscape.
Cool.
And my out where I park my rig, I planted a couple of these Candy Tuft years ago, and they're about 12 inches tall, and this one's it spread about 5 feet, and it looked good. Then the deer chomped on that too, but they didn't destroy it, and it came back gangbusters. They couldn't eat it all. I hope maybe they got sick.
Sick again.
Too. I hope so. But
do you ever put a little poison or anything out?
No, no. I put some maple syrup on there, but they didn't work. They liked it better.
They liked it.
Yeah. But, you know, these guys are neglected, and then they just keep on, spreading around. And like I said, they're seldom watered because they're next to the creek, but it's a steep bank. And if mm-hmm. I water them, I usually get a 5-gallon bucket, dip it in the creek, walk over, and just give them a shot maybe twice a month. Maybe. Only if it's really hot.
Right.
The rest of the time, I ignore them. You can grow or die. I don't care. You're a test plant.
As my dad used to say, either make it or you don't.
That's it.
And on that note, we need a break.
We got a break?
We do.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I was on a roll, man.
I know. Well, keep that roll in mind. We'll be right back.
I got to mark my spot here.
Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show. More to follow on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, it's hurt my finger. Anyway, we're back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show.
Oh, boy, here we are, and we're talking about winter color. And I just finished with the Candy Tuft. Now, I only have white Candy Tuft, and that's all I sell at the nursery is white Candy Tuft. But in my research, I found that they also bloom in lavender, pink, lilac, rose, and crimson. And I've never seen any of those before, but maybe they're still in China. I'm not sure. But I've only seen them with white flowers. But they make great border plants. Or just mix them in randomly with your other larger shrubs so they make a real nice show on the bottom of there. Or put them in a pot on a porch. They are evergreen as well, so they don't ever fade away. And if you want winter color in your landscaping, try a combination of all these things I just mentioned. You know, the camellias are the big items. The saxifrage and the Daphne and the candy tuft are the lower growing things that you're mixing in with, like, say, maybe some colorful primroses and pansies, which only bloom, you know, again, they're winter bloomers. And there's lots of wild colors out there. And it just makes your landscape more interesting. And then for the heck of it, if you're really a fanatic about all this, throw in some daffodils. They're not blooming right now, but they will be in, oh gosh, maybe another month or so, depending again on the weather. Bright yellow blooms in your yard will shine with, you know, lots of color. So you use these plants that I just mentioned, and if you're skeptical about it, just take one corner of your yard, one section of it, and just try like a sample landscape of these items and see how you like it. Let them stay there, and you'll see how much color you do have all winter. I mean, summer color, spring color, that's easy to come by. I mean, it's all over the place all spring and summer. But it's the winter time when everything's, you know, dead and no leaves,
gloomy
and rainy. Well, hey, the gloom and the rain and the cold don't hurt any of this stuff that I've been talking about, and you'll really like it. And of course, the primroses, they come back every year like a weed, and they spread with lots of color. I mean, once you got them in, it's hard to get them out. But they're really pretty. They have a nice flower. And they don't need much care. And they may look a little peaked in July and August because it's hot, but they just, you know, they hold their own. But as soon as the rain starts, they come back to life, and all of a sudden there's new leaves and stuff like that. And then in December, January, they start blooming all over again. Ours been in bloom since December at the nursery in our planter areas. They've been blooming since then, and a few pansies have too. We didn't plant very many of them, just you know, extras that we had left over that were so ugly nobody wanted to buy, so we plant them in our place. And it, you know, within a few months you couldn't tell that they were ugly.
The ugly ducklings,
they do okay. And these guys will continue to, you know, bloom into April, and it's, and like I say, they all preferred a little bit of shade for best results. That's what's they're going to do. Now, next week, I'm going to fill you in on hellebores. They're a real strange plant, but they're beautiful and very hardy. And I'm not sure what country they originate from.
I'd say China.
They might, or Ethiopia, or, you know, Nepal. I'm not sure, but... I've got some in my yard, and we have some at the nursery. They got the strangest looking flower. They're in bloom now, and they got the strangest looking flower. And it's kind of a strange looking plant, but it's exotic strange. It's not spooky strange.
Yeah.
It's more exotic. And the one I had in my backyard, I really neglected it, and it blooms, and like I say now, and it's blooming and it looks good. And then the sun came out, and I forgot to water it for a month or so. Mm-hmm. And it kind of died down to the ground. I thought, well, that's that. So what? Well, as soon as it rained the next fall, bing, is back twice as big as it was.
I'm alive again.
I'm alive. Leave me alone. Quit. Give me a drink once in a while, man. I could use it. So we pay a little bit more attention to it now. and it works. It works a whole lot better.
Well, we're about ready to wrap things up here in about 5 seconds.
Okay, it's Valentine's week, and we got a florist that's cooking, man. So if you want nice flowers delivered, call Wintergreen Florist.
And what's that number?
679-8224.
All right, good enough. We'll catch you next week, Mike.
Thank you.